get it started in here.
It's morning again, and waking up isn't easy. At least I know my favorite show is on. It's 6 a.m. There ain't nobody like them. I just know they'll never steer me wrong. Sam, John, Drew, and Sam, speaking out, talking to me, talking to you. Justice and Drew, mornings have never been so good,
so good, so good, so good.
Justice and Drew, I never miss a show, I don't think I could.
You dig it?
And the world's all right with me.
Can you dig it?
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. Welcome. It's your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew. I'm very excited. Very excited that it's Wednesday.
Yeah?
I love Wednesday.
Really? I was unaware.
My favorite day of the week.
Really?
Yeah.
I was completely unaware of your love of Wednesday.
I have a deep, deep affinity for Wednesdays.
Really? Why?
I don't know. I just like them.
Trump Day?
Because, like, you know, you're getting closer to Friday.
Sure.
You got Survivor on the night.
Yeah, so that's the real reason.
Well,
why.
See, but I don't watch Survivor until like later, so like, that doesn't matter to
when
me.
When the show ends on Wednesday,
yeah,
it almost feels like it's Friday. It's like, all right, we're almost there. We got the Thursday show, and then all of a sudden it's Friday.
I woke up this morning thinking it was Thursday, so I'm not having a good morning already.
Sam, do you have a favorite day of the week?
Love
Saturday.
Saturday?
Definitely Saturday.
Well, I'm excluding the weekends. I'm thinking of the work week.
Well, I don't know.
I guess
Fridays.
I'm probably going to go with...
I do love Fridays, too.
Yeah. I'm probably going to go with Thursday, even including the weekend, if I were to overthink it, which I don't do very often.
You overthink? Never.
Because, you know, Thursday's your gateway to... I'll give you Wednesday.
Thursday is your gateway drug to the weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, and I'll give you Wednesday.
That's how Wednesday feels to me.
But I'll push back on your Wednesday just a moment, because your Wednesday is your deciding factor on whether or not the week is going fast or slow.
True.
Wednesday is your indication of whether or not
it feels like it's been a long week already.
Right.
Still got two more days.
So, like for me today, Wednesday sucks because I'm still in a level of pain because of my stupid teeth, which I think I'm just going to go ahead and just get rid of them.
Yeah.
I'm just going to remove them. Just go with the fake ones that I can take in and out, because this pain nonsense that I'm dealing with is just annoying. But Thursday is sort of your gateway to Friday. I can't make Friday my favorite day because Friday is usually got to work. Got to get through work on Friday, and then you've got sort of an abbreviated work's over, but my day is almost done, you know. And then Saturday, the expectations are just too high.
Saturday gets built up.
Saturday just gets...
Saturday's usually a letdown.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, here we go.
It's got to be the greatest day, because it's the only day that's not, you know, donutted by other, you know, because Sunday's going into Monday, so...
Yeah, got to work on Sunday to get ready for Monday.
I'll join you on Wednesday if the week is going by quick.
Right.
But for me, that is not the case right now.
No, I dig me some Wednesday. And plus, we have a great show today. We've got gubernatorial candidate Jeff Johnson announced his running mate earlier this week, so we'll learn a little bit about that. Plus, some news in the race that he will surely want to comment on, with Tim Pawlenty announcing that the convention? I don't need no stinking convention. Whatever. Yeah. I'm just going to go to a primary. The convention.
You know, without picking a dog in this fight, you know, it's kind of like, well, if you don't have to worry about, I don't know who I like more at this point in time, but like for Tim Pawlenty, I can relate to that kind of go, well, if you don't need to go, I don't even bother. You know? It's like, if you don't have to.
If he's made the calculation that he doesn't really have a shot at getting the endorsement and he doesn't care because he's going to a primary anyway. You know, if he's made that calculation, you know, going to the convention, working the delegates, that is a significant expense.
Yeah.
And there's money involved in that, and money is precious in a campaign.
And time.
And money and time.
Doing stuff.
Right?
And that's a personal thing.
That's the strategy. That's the calculation that his campaign has made. I get it.
Yeah.
But I also get why all the people who devote so much time and energy and sacrifice so much to be a part of the party and to be a part of the process, and they value and respect that process, would be very, very irritated at a candidate going, yeah, you guys have fun. I'm going to be over here.
Sure. True.
Yeah. I don't, you guys do your thing, whatever. I don't care.
Playing sort of, you know, devil's advocate on that, I would wonder how many of those people that would be annoyed who are actually supporting Tim Pawlenty over somebody who is going. You know what I mean? Even regardless of whether or not he did or didn't. I mean, no numbers in front of me. I'm just kind of throwing that out
it's
there.
It's a ballsy move on Pawlenty's part. It's got it's definitely a risky move on Pawlenty's part. We'll see how it plays out. I'm not going to sit here and try to read the minds of the delegates, read the minds of the Pawlenty campaign. We'll have Jeff Johnson on at 7 o'clock, and he'll certainly have. Can we try
to read his mind?
He's already. Well, we won't have to.
Okay. Oh, because he'll be on the show.
We'll just ask him.
Okay. All right.
He's already released a statement on this, so that'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to catching up with Jeff and learning about his running mate. She sounds like a fascinating woman.
We'll also be talking with Senator Jim Abler, just right around 8 o'clock this morning, and he will give us the latest in regards to the story that we covered at length yesterday of the daycare fraud. There was a hearing that took place, watched a big chunk of that, seemed to be a lot of confusion. Senator Jim Abler was the one who was spearheading that yesterday. The whistleblower showed up, and again, there seemed to be... That raised, in my opinion, a lot more questions that it didn't kind of answers, including like what it is their intention is moving forward on how to deal with this potential of the not just the daycare fraud, but whether or not this whistleblower is correct in his assessment and did that Fox 9 investigation.
And at 8:35 this morning, Deputy Secretary of the United States Department of Health and Human Services, Eric Hargan, going to be calling in, and we're going to talk with him about Trump's plan to lower prescription drug prices.
I'm down with that.
Yeah,
I got to take a lot of prescription drugs.
Looking forward to that conversation. They're interesting.
They're expensive. Suddenly, I became Dayton. All of a sudden,
all these pain meds.
Yeah,
seriously. Are turning you into Dayton?
Seriously, man, they're turning me into something. Hey, Sam, how has the scouring been?
It's been scoured.
We will bring you Sam's top five stories to kick off your Wednesday. Coming up next,
Justice in.
Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice Andrew, along with Sam, 651-989-5855. Time permitting, a little bit later on in the hour, after Sam's Top 5 this morning, there's a new survey that was done. It's a survey of how much time we spend indoors. It is eye-opening.
You were questioned because you'll skew the results.
Yeah, it was funny because I started to we'll get to it, but I started to do the calculations, and then I started to get sad. Because I didn't think that it was as bad as I thought it was. You know, it's better on the weekends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually out for a long time yesterday. I went for a really long, really long bike ride.
Does it matter if you're outdoors or if you're, like, you know, at a friend's house? Or...
No, it's specific to outdoors.
Okay.
So yeah. Counting the work environment well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I probably would skew those results.
Yeah, because we're, yeah.
I guess my deck time. I spend a lot of time out on the deck.
Yeah.
That probably counts.
I would definitely skew those results, because if I'm not here in this radio studio and I'm not sleeping, I'm outside.
Well, to that, though, and again, we can get into that, the core of the survey is talking about the difference between getting fresh air and indoor air, right? Because you don't think about that all that often, right? I mean, you have you know, the air purifiers and all that. But I would be curious, because of our the length of time every day that, say, we spend, you know, Drew and myself, spend indoors compared to you. You're outdoors all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if you are in a better position because your outdoor time is surrounded by sucking in other animal stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Fecal fumes.
Yes. I didn't know how to...
How dirty do you think my barn is?
I wasn't going to say it's all fecal, but there's dirt and grime and grit and
I spent a lot of time in hay fields
and
stuff
ducks
too.
And, you know, and animals and cats.
It's kept
and
pretty clean.
Dogs and people. There's a lot of people around you.
So it sounds like people.
I'm not sure that your outside time is really benefiting you any more than our inside time is benefiting
us. I've been in your barn.
Yeah. It's a barn.
It's a barn.
Yeah. There's historic
animals, and that's what animals do.
Yeah. There's like history flying around in a building like that. You know, I mean, it's been there for a long, I mean, before you guys.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, our barn, it's like, there's like the main part of the original part of the barn is probably like almost 100 years old. Then the rest of it is probably like 30, 40 years old.
You're inhaling dust of days gone by. Dust of yesteryear.
There's stories in that there dust.
Seriously.
I don't spend all of my time in the barn, though. You know, you go outside, you go on a trail ride with your horse, you know, go out in the pasture.
Yeah. Stuff out there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
trail rides and stuff.
John's just like,
do all those things.
There's nature.
There's nature out there, man. Ain't nothing nice. As our friend James D. Harris says, ain't nothing nice about nature.
Sam has been in there scouring the internet. She has compiled and delivered to our hands the top five stories that you need to know to kick off your Wednesday.
Number one.
North Korea is threatening to cancel the U.S. meeting over American military drills with South Korea.
You watch the news and they want this so bad. It's I mean, we'll get into it, but they do the coverage on this. It's everywhere. Oh my gosh! They want to cancel. I mean, it's
Trump
like what
really stepped in it now.
Yeah, boy. I really hope they don't cancel.
From Fox News, North Korea announced it has canceled a high level summit with South Korea and is threatening to cancel its meeting with the United States over American military drills in South Korea. KCNA, which is North Korea's state media outlet, claimed that the military drills were a rehearsal for a potential invasion of the country. KCNA said, this exercise targeting us, which is being carried out across South Korea, is a flagrant challenge to the something declaration that I can't pronounce, and an international...
Yeah, no, I'm with you on the Panmunjom. Panmunjom.
Yeah, the Panmunjom Declaration, which is apparently a big deal, and an intentional military provocation running counter to the positive political development on the Korean peninsula. That was according to Yonhap News. The United States will also have to undertake careful deliberations about the fate of the planned North Korea-U.S. summit in light of this provocative military ruckus jointly conducted with the South Korean authorities.
Yeah, this is a tactic, and I at this point, I still feel fairly confident that the summit will happen. You know, this is negotiation. This is how it works, and like everything that is put out there by the North Korean media, that is directed more towards appearances to their people than it is to the rest of the world.
A meeting between President Trump and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un is also in jeopardy. Trump announced last week that the highly anticipated meeting with Kim would take place in Singapore on June 12th. However, State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert said during a Tuesday briefing that they had not received any formal or even information notification of anything and are continuing to plan the summit.
There was some reports within the past hour saying that the meeting with North Korea was still moving forward despite these threats. It feels like, and again, this is just perception. This is a media outlet. This is North Korea state media outlet. So you want to say that, well, this is also the voice of Kim Jong-un and the leadership, but that's not necessarily the case. Look, these military drills aren't just something where you can go, well, everybody, drills are off. You know, you've got plans in place and plans in motion. I imagine that there is probably a level of the leadership within North Korea that is not happy with what is happening with Kim Jong-un and these talks moving forward. And this could be a tactic by Kim Jong-un to sort of get more of what they want. But this also could just be a simple matter of you've got two opposing opinions here, and what we're seeing is sort of the North Korea Star Tribune editorial version of what is actually happening, which is different than what Kim Jong-un is attempting to do.
Hashtag fake Korean news.
Right. There you go. That's right.
Number two.
Pawlenty is not seeking the GOP endorsement in the governor's race. From the Star Tribune, former Governor Tim Pawlenty announced yesterday that he will not seek the Republican endorsement in the governor's race, opting instead to head straight for the August party primary. The former governor joined the race in April and is up against three other GOP candidates who are all seeking the endorsement at the Republican Party convention in June. Pawlenty's spokesman, Sam Winter, said in a statement, Tim appreciates the convention delegates, but his late entry into the race effectively precluded a fair fight for endorsement at the convention. As a result, he has decided not to participate in the convention and will instead make his case directly to the broader and larger group of voters who will be participating in the Republican primary on Tuesday, August 14th. Other GOP candidates, that would be Hennepin County Commissioner Jeff Johnson, Woodbury Mayor Mary Giuliani Stevens, and Navy Reserve Intelligence Officer Philip Parrish, are after the party's endorsement at the Duluth Convention. Whichever of those candidates clinches the endorsement now faces the prospect of a primary race against Pawlenty, who is a pretty formidable fundraiser, whose previous stint as governor also brings high name recognition.
Yeah, we mentioned this a little bit earlier, and Jeff Johnson will be on the show later this morning, right around 7 o'clock, to talk about his running mate, but also he put out a statement regarding this yesterday, so we'll ask him about that. It's a bold move. It's a risky move. We will see how it plays out. I understand him sort of conceding the endorsement and making the calculation that, you know, he's at a position this late in the race to where he couldn't effectively really compete for the endorsement, but to not even participate seems risky.
We'll have more thoughts on this and more of Sam's Top 5 coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justin.
(651) 989-5855 is the phone number, or use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter to communicate with the show. We do monitor that throughout the show. You can follow me at Andrew Lee TCNT. You can follow John at John Justice. You can follow Sam at Sam Sansevier. Follow us all and use that hashtag TCNT to communicate with us.
Twitter owes us, by the way, because...
Are you not getting your Twitter checks?
No.
Oh. You don't get Twitter checks?
Guys, I'm already sad this morning because my mouth kind of hurts.
Everybody gets checks on Twitter.
There's so many faithful friends of the show that I know have signed up to Twitter because of how often we use it, and I think that's cool. I think Twitter owes. I mean, Twitter will look at us and go, "We owe you nothing." But
you're not Trump.
Yeah. Well, that's a very, very good point.
He's the best thing that ever happened to Twitter.
True story.
We are in the midst of Sam's Top 5. Left off talking about Tim Pawlenty not seeking the GOP endorsement in the governor's race, which we kind of already knew from the get go. But really, the bigger story out of it is that he's not even going to participate in the convention, which is a bold move on his part.
If you're not if you're not seeking the endorsement, you know, I almost to kind of get into the mind of Tim Pawlenty for a moment. Like, if you're not seeking the endorsement, I would be personally concerned of going to the convention and participating without that. I would be, you know, go there. Hey, everybody, I'm here. I'm not looking for the endorsement, though. That feels like a bit of a, that could be perceived as a slap in the face, in which case it's better just to go, I'm not seeking the endorsement and I'm not going to go to the convention.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And I, again, I'm not going to be a delegate mind reader, but my sort of gut reaction is, you know, at least go give a speech and do sort of your basic servicing to the convention. You are seeking the Republican nomination. You are seeking to, you know, you are running for governor as a Republican.
Sure.
I think it makes sense to at least make an appearance and go there, give your speech, shake the hands, you know, be honest and say, you know, I appreciate what you guys do. I appreciate all the effort you put in to make this a vibrant grassroots party, et cetera, et cetera. And, but then let the endorsement process play out as it plays out.
We would probably not get, I mean, next time we have him on, we can ask him this, but I doubt we'd get sort of a, like the real answer, but I wonder how much of this is as well is, you know, it's no secret he's got the name recognition and he probably doesn't need, you know, he can still be a formidable opponent without having to get the endorsement.
Absolutely.
So I wonder how much of this is a calculated move to, all right, I don't need the endorsement, I'm not going to go to the convention, and if I were to win the primary, I have actually put a bit of a gap between me and the GOP, perhaps even on a subconscious level in the minds of voters that he's going to need to reach across the aisle and grab.
Maybe. That could be part of the calculation that he's made. At the very least, it's earned him a ton of media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not necessarily negative media. So in that respect, I mean, maybe that's part of the calculation as well.
I imagine there's a level of profile raising there. So there's a confidence thing attached to that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You can label it as ego and be annoyed, but you can also look at it and go, well, man, the dude's confident that, you know, he can get this. So.
Yeah, we will be talking with Jeff Johnson. We had Pawlenty on the show yesterday. If you missed that, go to the iHeartRadio app, download it. Go to the Justice and Drew channel. You can find that in hour 3, I believe, of yesterday's show. Jeff Johnson will be joining us in just about 20 minutes or so. We will continue with Sam's Top 5, though.
Number 3.
The Minnesota House has given final passage to the tax bill. From Channel 5, by a vote of 78-50, the House passed the conference committee report for an omnibus tax bill agreed to by both the House and the Senate late yesterday afternoon. The bill syncs Minnesota's tax code with the recent federal overhaul, while making slight cuts to income tax rates. The measure now goes to the Senate, where, if it is approved, it will then head to Dayton's desk. But the plan is drastically different than Dayton's own proposal. The Democratic governor said on Monday he wouldn't negotiate or sign a tax bill until lawmakers provide $138 million for Minnesota schools struggling with budget shortfalls.
Yeah,
he called. They called his bluff, man. Yeah. I'm glad they did.
Yeah,
I'm really glad they did.
I hope it's a bluff. You know, for Minnesotans' sake, for our sake, for my sake, for your sake, I hope it's a bluff. I hope Dayton, because this was passed with a, you know, for fairly strong bipartisan measures, and it will, you know, remains to be seen what's going to happen in the Senate, if it's going to get changed up drastically, or, you know, what sort of numbers it's going to pass with in the Senate. But I do feel like there's going to be a decent amount of pressure from within his own party to sign this, but there's probably going to be a greater amount of pressure from the activist community,
right,
to veto it and get the, you know, and specifically referring to Education Minnesota and the teachers union, which is like the most powerful political force in this state, to veto it and hold firm on the emergency funding.
We've got a piece of audio we'll play later. We'll play later in the show. Drew, you had sent it to us. This move, this is so bizarre. This is really weird to me. And I know that, you know, it's only been a couple of years that I've been here, so my dealings with Governor Mark Dayton aren't as, thank the good Lord Almighty, as extensive as what you've had to deal with, Drew. But the governor put out this video. And again, we'll play the audio. It's about 2 minutes long later on in the show. About 2 minutes long. and it dovetails off of his call for this emergency $138 million spending, uses the clip of him behind the podium calling for this with footage of him hanging around little kids talking about how we need this money for the children. And it's so weird because it comes off like this bizarro tossed together, you know, Sarah McLachlan, save the animals PSA. And I watched it, and it was really kind of, and I emailed you guys back. It was really kind of infuriating. I was like, you pulled this arbitrary number out of nowhere without having any discussions prior at the end of the legislative session. And I guess the reason why I found it so infuriating, because it comes off just like, did you really just do that to make yourself look good? Because that's what it comes off as. It comes off as really smarmy and pretentious and arrogant and do it for the children. Yeah. And I was annoyed.
By children, I mean teachers union.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to play you the audio later on in the show.
Number four.
A red alert has been issued for aviation as Kilauea is spewing VOG 12,000 feet into the sky.
I'd never heard of VOG until today.
I hadn't either.
It's VOG.
So, from the Associated Press.
Sounds like a Bond villain.
Ooh. It kind of does.
Darth VOG.
A massive ash plume rising from a fissure on Hawaii's Kilauea volcano has caused authorities to issue a red alert for airplanes in the region for the first time since the mountain suddenly ramped up its activity nearly 2 weeks ago. What scientists have dubbed VOG, which is a combination of volcanic gas and ash, reached 12,000 feet into the sky above Kilauea, one of the world's most active volcanoes. In an updated advisory issued on yesterday afternoon, Hawaii time, the U.S. Geological Survey said ash coming from a vent near the mountain's crater has generally increased in intensity. The USGS is quoted in this story saying ash has been rising nearly continuously from the vent and drifting downwind to the southwest. Ashfall and VOG, volcanic air pollution, has been reported in Pahala, about 18 miles downwind.
Yeah, you want to stay with it. You see, that's when you want to stay indoors.
Or just
you don't
want to
volcanic air pollution's really bad. It's not good.
It's pretty bad.
The National Weather Service radar and pilot reports indicate the top of the ash cloud is as high as 10,000 to 12,000 feet above sea level, but this may be expected to vary depending on the vigor of activity and wind conditions. The Hawaii Volcano Observatory said in a statement on the change in aviation alert from orange to red, they said at any time activity may become more explosive, increasing the intensity of ash production and producing ballistic projectiles near the vent. Ugh,
this is terrifying.
For airplanes, not only does the ash reduce visibility, but more importantly, volcanic ash can wreak havoc on jet engines. Also, how about those ballistic projectiles?
Yeah, those two. This is the worst. And the natural disasters are earthquakes, volcanoes, tornadoes, because there's nothing you can do about them.
Yeah.
It's just you have to just brace yourself, cross your fingers, and hope for the best. You know, you can, obviously you can evacuate, you can take some precautions, but it's not like, you know, there's that sense of sort of helplessness of, well, if it blows, it blows.
From,
what are you going to do?
From what I've been gathering, the level of concern of like a massive eruption seems to be subsiding, and what it sounds like now is this is going to be the norm for Kilauea for some time. That's what it's starting to sound like is the pressure is being relieved from this volcano, and they're not expecting the it's a kind of just do a real big explosion, but they're not expecting that it's going to calm down anytime soon. So all those it's worst case scenario for all the people living around that for all these decades and never had to deal with it. Like when they ask him, what's the worst case? Well, worst case is this thing ends up erupting and putting lava everywhere and we have to move. And it looks like that is what has now happened.
Number five.
A Wisconsin Police Department is congratulating high school students on their prank, saying hats off. From Fox News, authorities in Wisconsin have commended a high school prank which involved a supposed car accident. Authorities wrote, hats off to the Cumberland High School class of 2018 on your senior prank. Congratulations, class of 2018, on one of the best senior pranks that Cumberland High School has seen. School property wasn't damaged by the stunt, which was pulled off with a black tarp, bricks, a junk car, and tape. The Cumberland School District said students positioned an old junker strewn with loose bricks in front of what appeared to be a gaping black hole in the building side, just outside the principal's office. It wasn't actually a hole, though. Using tape and a black tarp, the students created the illusion of damage, making it look like the car crashed into the side of the building. The police department's Facebook post has been shared more than 1,700 times as of Tuesday night, last night, and in the comment section, a few people praised the police for their take on the situation. Authorities replied, "This will be hard to beat."
Yeah, it's a. You see the picture, and if you don't, if you just kind of glance at it, that's what you think happened. They did a really, really good job of pulling this prank off. It looks like the car smashed into the wall.
Pretty impressive prank.
I don't think
I'm amazed, though, that like in this day and age, like anybody could pull off any prank right now without a bunch of people getting outraged and offended.
It looks just like the photo from when just recently when somebody taking their driver's exam crashed into the building in Buffalo.
I wonder if maybe that's what inspired this.
Maybe. I mean, it could be. Yeah, maybe. It looks a lot like that.
Yeah.
They pulled a Wile E. Coyote. I mean, that's hard to do.
They had to have sawed that car in half.
You're right, though, Drew. I'm waiting for the outrage. I shouldn't be mocking car crashes. You know, right, that. Yeah. I'm just waiting for it.
One of my relatives died in a car crash.
right.
Yeah, I know. It reminded me of stuff. I don't like it.
It was pretty clever, though.
It was really clever, yeah.
Excellent top five, Sam. Well done.
So, Drew, I don't know if you saw yesterday, but there was a lot of... It just makes me laugh. There was a lot of talk around this Pennsylvania primary, and the talk around the Pennsylvania primary yesterday was like, oh, Pennsylvania primary, Dems poised to gain momentum.
This is a blue wave.
This is a blue wave. Yes, that's right. Oh, here it comes. This is going to be the sign. Yeah, Pennsylvania primary results show surprising Trump strength. The GOP's happy about it.
Right.
The four-term congressman, staunch supporter of President Trump, won the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate. The Tuesday primary set the stage for the 18 U.S. House seats that will be up for grabs in November. Court-ordered redistricting 3 months ago has made the outcome of those races increasingly unpredictable. Democrats were looking to grab some of the Pennsylvania seats. So Pennsylvania supposedly holds tea leaves that will tell the tale of what voters will do in November, so we're told. Well, if they did, it's bad news for the blue wave.
They've said that about every...
I know.
Primary, every special election, everything that's happened has been tea leaves until it doesn't go the way that they'd like it to go, and then it's like, oh, well, that's probably not. Blue wave.
Yeah. No.
It's still going to be a blue wave.
Yeah, well, that wave crashed before it hit the Pennsylvania shore, apparently. Because it was, once again, not what everybody was predicting.
Coming up next on Justice and Drew, we will be joined by gubernatorial candidate Hennepin County Commissioner Jeff Johnson. He's going to tell us a little bit about the running mate that he selected earlier this week and also get some updates on how the campaign has been going.
Also, later on in the hour, if you're a fan of Cheesecake Factory, that's great. Cheesecake Factory makes great food. Just don't wear a Make America Great Again hat when you go there.
Justice